It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. My name is John Schmelk. This morning, we're joined by Lance Meadow. The Giants' four-game winning streak is over as they fall to the Dallas Cowboys in dramatic fashion, 24-21. A Dan Bailey 35-yard field goal, giving the Dallas Cowboys the win. They are now tied in first place in the NFC East with the Philadelphia Eagles at 6-5, and the New York Giants fall to 4-7. And Lance, unfortunately for them, their playoff hopes now are very, very slim.
Well, they're essentially three games back of the Dallas Cowboys because you need to take the tiebreaker situation into consideration, and the fact that Dallas is 4-0 in the division and swept the Giants this season, you need to then be an entire game up on them to surpass them. So that's why you have to treat it as a three-game deficit. Plus, you look at the wild card situation. I know that was an outside shot to begin with this season, but you have Arizona in the driver's seat in that sixth seed, and they're three games ahead of the Giants. So they need an awful lot of help right now. This was a golden opportunity, and unfortunately, even though they ran for over 200 yards and did a lot of things right, you look at the penalties, you look at the red zone struggles, and you look at the defensive breakdowns on that final Cowboys drive, and that's essentially how they let this game slip away.
Hey, look, and there's plenty of blame to go around here, and we'll talk all about it, and we will be taking your calls in just a second. Once again, at 201-939-4513 or comment on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. We'll talk to you and interact with you on Twitter as well. And Lance, let's start the offense only because they really did not put up enough points to win this game. And we talked last week they would have to score 24, 27, maybe even in the 30s if they wanted to beat the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. They manage only 21 points. Now, the offense looked a little bit better than it did a few weeks ago. I think they continued to progress from where they were last week, mostly with the running game. But, once again, Manning in the passing game simply not productive enough, not sharp enough to win this football game. 16-30 for 174 yards and two touchdowns is a fine passing line. But, against the Dallas Cowboy team that's given up 600 yards of offense twice this year and has allowed four quarterbacks to throw for over 400 yards against them, that simply is not good enough.
Plus, keep in mind, John, the offense is responsible for giving up a score itself because of the fumble by Victor Cruz.
Great point.
So you put yourself even in a worse deficit, a worse position, by surrendering those 7 points. So that was obviously a big mishap on the part of the offense. And you look at how this Cowboys secondary has played over the last few games, and you say to yourself, they should be able to get more than 174 yards through the air. And part of it, I think, is sometimes they abandoned the run. You know, there were times where, to me, they get 8 or 9 yards on a first down, and then Eli Manning's looking to throw. If you're getting over 200 yards, John, just pound the football.
Lance, I agree with you. And you look at the final box score, you look at the final numbers, 30 rushes, 30 passes. So you say, balance, that's a good thing, right? It's not a good thing when you're running with far more success than you're passing. If you're running with a lot more success, run the ball more than you throw it. There's nothing wrong with that. Watching that football game, did you ever get the idea that the Cowboys were going to stop Andre Brown, were going to stop Brandon Jacobs? I didn't. I thought, much like you, not that they didn't run the ball. They ran it plenty. They had 30 rushes in this game. It's a lot. I thought they could have ran it a lot more than they did. And they were never in a position here where they were behind by so many points where they had to abandon the run either. I thought they could have stuck with it. They were getting rushes in big chunks. They had their first rush of over 20 yards. Brandon Jacobs with that big 37-yard run. Andre Brown had a bunch of runs for double digits in this game. Much like you, Lance, I thought they could have kept pounding it.
And they had a nice balance, as you mentioned, between the two running backs. It's not as if they had Andre Brown do all the lifting and then Brandon Jacobs comes in here or there. The perfect example that I could give you as to why I was a little surprised in terms of some of the play calling. Fourth quarter, they're down 21-13, just under 12 minutes remaining. They take over on their own 16-yard line. Andre Brown up the middle for 9 yards, gets them to the Giants 25. Okay, so I got a second and one now at your own 25-yard line. You just picked up 9 yards. You've had success running the football because we're talking about the fourth quarter here. We're not talking about the first half. So why even go to the air? You got 1 yard you need to pick up. Get Jacobs in there, get Brown back, pick up the first down, give yourself a fresh set of downs. Instead, incomplete. It was a short pass attempt to Randall, but then they come back to the run. Dallas is clearly expecting the run now, and Brown picks up no gain, and you're forced to punt.
Well, but you would make the argument in that specific situation that the Dallas would be expecting the run on second down as well. I don't mind in that situation going play action and taking a shot down the field. I honestly don't mind it in that particular spot.
Well, but even if Dallas is expecting the run, John, isn't it better to have two opportunities to pick up 1 yard than get down to just one opportunity? I would say you increase your percentages, even if Dallas is expecting the run. You know what? Run up the gut. If that doesn't work, then go off the edge or go off the tackle. I mean, there's ways to differentiate your play calling in those circumstances.
You also had some issues with penalties. We talked about that.
Huge.
And we'll get to the defense in a second, but we'll start the penalties. Mathias Kiwanuka, a very big roughing the passer penalty, which is a textbook penalty, by the way. It was the correct call on the field. He hit Tony Romo in the neck and head area. You can't do that, as we've learned with Brooks from the 49ers and Drew Brees a couple weeks ago. That is a penalty every single time. They missed one in another game this weekend. Jason Campbell, actually, I believe, had a concussion getting hit in the head. They did not call a roughing the passer penalty on that. But generally speaking, and by the rule, you get hit in the head, your quarterback, a flag's going to get thrown. It was the right penalty on Mathias Kiwanuka. And just generally sloppy play by the Giants, Lance, in terms of self-inflicting wounds. They committed a lot of penalties, ones that gave the Cowboys first downs, one that improved the Cowboys' field position, and the biggest one was that Kiwanuka personal foul that took a turnover off the board.
Cole Beasley wound up coughing up the football. Would have been another opportunity for the Giants offense to get back on the field. So as you mentioned, I think you perfectly summed it up. Self-inflicted wounds giving Dallas better opportunities to put this game away. Antrel Roll, if you remember, also pushes DeMarco Murray out of play. The late hit, you know, that was also unnecessary to tack on some extra yardage, and that came just after the Kiwanuka penalty.
And that was a 5-yard penalty.
I think it was 6 yards, yeah.
Murray went out of bounds at 12. They gave him the ball at the 6, half the distance. So,
still, but why make it so easy on your opponent?
Unnecessary. Completely unnecessary, no doubt about it. Now,
one more I just wanted to add. Demontre Moore, an illegal block above the waist, yeah. And Randall had a very good return, keep in mind. Now, the Giants wound up scoring on that drive, but once again, if you can get 10 more yards to not have your offense have to go an additional 20 yards, why take it away from them?
Or maybe you give your offense some time at the end of the game. Maybe the Cowboys can't run out the clock if you have that extra time that the Giants don't have to take to get that yardage back. Now, to the defense. And we talked about it. The last 4 weeks, his defense has turned it around. They've played excellent football, granted, against some sub-caliber quarterbacks, guys that are not starters in this league. And we talked about how this was going to be a bellwether game to see exactly how good this Giants defense was. And, Lance, I think we got our answer. This Giant defense is pretty good, but it's not great. And while they held the Cowboys to 24 points, 7 of those, by the way, coming on that fumble return for a touchdown. So in reality, the defense only gave up 17 points. However, when the defense needed to get the Cowboys off the field in that fourth quarter, they allowed 3 big third down conversions. They allowed a big long completion to Miles Austin. Antrel Roll had some issues on that entire drive. Once Jermaine McBride went out with that hip/groin injury, he had to cover one-on-one in the slot, something when we talked to him in the post-game show, he hasn't really done in the game all year long and hasn't even practiced in 5, 6, or 7 weeks. And the Cowboys saw a role playing that slot spot. They attacked him with Dez Bryant. Then they attacked him with Cole Beasley. And the Giants defense simply couldn't get off the field when they needed to.
And we should say that was because of Tremaine McBride aggravating a groin injury.
Yep.
So he came out, and as you mentioned, they started shuffling around personnel where Terrell Thomas gets moved outside. Antrell Roll goes into the slot. And part of that, you have to give credit to the Cowboys coaching staff for seeing that and taking full advantage of it. And I think that's another aspect, what Miles Austin brings to this offense. And we talked about that in great detail last week, that Austin is going to now all of a sudden put extra strain on the Giants secondary because there's another person that you need to account for. But to allow the Cowboys offense to gain some rhythm on third down, this was an area coming in, 33%, fifth worst mark in the NFL, 0-9 against the Saints. Well documented that Dallas does not do things well on third down.
And heading into the fourth quarter, just one third down conversion
Correct.
For the Cowboys all game.
And you wind up giving up three on that one drive alone. And it's not as if Dallas had to get 1 or 2 yards. We're talking about 5, 7, 10 yards here.
3rd and 7, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 10. And then on a 2nd and 10, they allowed the big 17-yarder to Miles Austin, which was just as big as the other conversions. And by the way, Sean O'Hara and I will break down one of those third down conversions. We're going to do the slant to Dez Bryant over the middle, and he'll break down exactly what went wrong on some of those plays.
And here's another thing that should jump off the page, or at least jump off of the highlights of the game. Jason Witten, you know, didn't have a monster game in terms of numbers, John, but he has 2 touchdowns again. And the tight end spot, we thought the Giants would be able to contain that because of the arrival now of John Beeson. Jaquan Williams has been playing at a higher level, and Witten had some golden opportunities in that end zone. And it was a one play where Beeson was on him. Then all of a sudden comes off of him. Thomas then goes to the left, and it parts the Red Sea for Jason Witten.
Well, I think that was John Beeson and Terrell Thomas trying to read Tony Romo's eyes as he turned in the pocket. Romo probably used that little shoulder turn to move the linebacker to create that space to complete that pass to Witten. And before we get to your calls, very quickly, we talked about the weather a lot before the game and how it would affect play. And we really didn't see either quarterback try to throw the ball deep downfield. Tony Romo's longest reception and completion was the pass to Dez Bryant in the fourth quarter. And the longest completion for Eli Manning was that throw over the middle to Reuben Randle, which was more catch and run than it was actually catching the ball down the field. So neither team really taking many shots deep in this game, Lance. Mostly short, mostly intermediate with some run after the catch.
Which I think is what we expected. I think partially people were anticipating that the Giants would open up the playbook because the Dallas secondary has been so bad. But look at what's worked on offense the last few weeks. The running game, the short passes, and I think they piggybacked off of that. There was another good lengthy pass to Victor Cruz over the middle on that drive that led to the touchdown too. But that was just 22 yards.
Yeah, they got it over the head of the Cowboy right. linebackers. He had to go airborne to catch it. And Wilcox tried to knock it out the last second. He couldn't do it. A couple other quick notes. The Giants' run defense also faltered for the first time in a long time this year. They allowed DeMarco Murray to go 14 rushes for 86 yards. The Cowboys 20 for 107 overall. That's a 5.4 average. And that includes the 3 Tony Romo runs for 1 yard, the victory formation at the end of the game. So that certainly brought the average down. It was probably closer to 6 yards per carry when all was said and done. That, I think, was a surprise. And we talked about how the Cowboys run it, trying to go outside a lot more. That seemed to give the Giants' defense a little bit of an issue.
Compared to some of the other running backs that they had played prior that had gone up the gun. And that's probably the biggest surprise, John, to me on defense, because they've been tested at
yeah.
running back. You can't say they haven't, and they've contained them. DeMarco Murray is still a top-tier running back. You would think that they would have followed that theme and script.
And really, offensively, despite the fact that we mentioned the Giants didn't move the ball on the ground, I can't believe they didn't try to attack the middle of the field a lot more, especially the way they were running the ball. Try to run some play action, get the ball to the middle of the field where the Cowboys really have struggled this year with the safety and linebacker play. They kept trying to throw outside, Lance. They didn't do a good job of it, and they really didn't attack the middle of that field, which the Cowboys have struggled defending all year.
No Sean Lee, no Justin Durant. We were talking about this last week. I thought that would have been the area that the Giants would have said, you know what, this is where we can get to the Dallas defense. And you're right, you know, Brandon Myers, 3 catches, got the touchdown only because the Dallas defense decided, why are we even here? Why are we even playing? And they decided not to touch him, and he wound up rolling into the end zone. Outside of that, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of passes to the outside. You know, I'm sure a lot of you are going to call up and say, well, you know, if we had Akeem Nicks in the game, perhaps that helps how the Giants move around their personnel. But, you know, the bottom line is Akeem Nicks has not had a great impact this season. in. And Lewis Murphy wound up catching a touchdown. Who would have thought that would have happened? And Jarrell Jernigan made some decent plays. So I really don't think big picture Hakeem Nicks's absence is the reason why the Giants didn't win that game.
And I give big shout out to John Connor, by the way, who did a great job leading the way for that running game that gained 200 yards for the Giants.
Well, Carl Banks mentioned on the broadcast, Johnny, he was joking around. There were some Cowboys defenders that saw John Connor and they ran the other way.
Yeah, they
didn't want any part of him.
They did not want to take on those blocks. Ready to go to the calls, Lance?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. 201-939-4513. Giants fall to the Cowboys. Season in peril. Let's start with Charlie down in North Carolina. Charles, what's going on?
Hey, man, I'm going to add 3 points to make real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then I'll move on.
Cool.
The Kiwanuka. Man, this guy ain't did nothing in 2 years. Why is he still on this team? And then he's taking out, what, $4 million? I mean, man, that's a big blow to the salary cap and to this team. And it's not allowing more of the rookie to get out there and to get some experience. Kiwanuka has done nothing, man.
Charles, the Giants thought Kiwanuka would have a much better year this year. Going back to defensive end, they thought he'd make more plays being in his natural position. But much like you just said, he has not produced the way you needed him to produce. It has been a disappointing season. I don't think anybody would argue that.
Though Charles, on a down year, he actually leads the team in sacks. It probably gets overlooked, but he is up there.
Really? How many
I think
he
had 3.5 entering this game.
Wow. I didn't even realize that, Lance. That's a good point. Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah. But let's get to the offense defense. It seemed like we reverted back and got cute again. Wide receiver on this option route tree stuff. It looked like we got simplified over the last month and really, you know, hey, run this route, this your route. And it seemed like we got kind of better at just running the route and making plays. It seemed like we got cute again, whereas, hey, well, I think I'm going this way. It's a bunch of confusion. I don't like that.
I didn't see a lot of confusion in the game. I didn't see a lot of confusion in the game, Charles, on Sunday.
Him and Jerk and two or three girls on miscommunication. Like, did y'all not see that? I mean, that, we got to, as a coach, you got to say, okay, we got to eliminate the complications of the playbook. And say, okay, we need to simplify this thing. Obviously, our passing game is not what it's been in the last few years. This year, it's not even existent like that. We're really not scoring passing-wise, and, things need to be simplified. I've been saying that all year, defensively. Act cute again. Why is we in cover one? Why are you blitzing when you should be on a third 10? Why do you have intro role at quarterback?
Well, because Jermaine McBride got hurt.
I don't. Okay, you had Hosley. You got quarterback.
Hosley hasn't played all year. Hosley hasn't played a snap all year.
He played yesterday. He didn't know how to play anyway. So what I'm saying is, those guys practice cornerback. Antoine Rose don't practice cornerback. Yeah, he has experience, but he's heavier, and he's a safety now. So he's not as quick as he used to be. As you seen yesterday, Dez Bryant burned him up. He got burnt 3 times. Trying to play quarterback. I'd rather have Hosley out there that no technique, that got the speed, that at least can attempt to play that position. I didn't like that, man. Why are you blitzing playing cover one? There's Brian, look at his cops. You can't play. We got cute again. Pressfield got cute again. I'm upset, and I'm telling you, man, this coaching staff, keep calling, but these coordinators need to be wiped clean, man. We need a new philosophy, new ideology. And we can move forward, but I ain't blaming the players on this one, man. I'm blaming the coaches on this. You got our coach, man. And that, you know, hey, if I can hear y'all opinion, though, I am on the job, I'm in my car, but if I can hear y'all opinion on that, then, you know, just let me go.
No problem, Charles. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And look, I don't think the Giants made a lot of mistakes yesterday in terms of, you know, the blitz, non-blitz, too much pressure, not enough pressure. I could pick out 4 or 5 plays, Charles, where Tony Romo was sitting back there surveying the field for a good 4 or 5 seconds. In fact, on that touchdown play to Jason Witten, not the seam right over the middle, the other one, he sat back there and had a chance to look at 3 or 4 different wide receivers before he went back to Jason Witten and scored the touchdown. The Giants did get some pretty good pass rush, I thought, with their front four in the game.
They got 4 sacks.
We saw Colin Jenkins make a couple nice moves inside to evade Travis Frederick, the Cowboys rookie center. I can't kill Perry Fuel. And look, the whole role thing, here's the bottom line. And this is more how I look at it. If Jayron Hosley, excuse me, is on this roster and he's there and he's deemed good enough to play, he should be the guy that goes in there. If Jayron Hosley can't go in there and play corner in that spot, why is he taking up a roster spot? And that's a point that Bob Pop and Carl Banks made on the radio postgame last night, that if you're going to have Hosley on this roster taking up a spot, he should be the guy going in there and playing that slot spot. However, the coaches are going to put the guy out there they think has the best chance of succeeding. And based on what they've seen in practice, based on Ancharol's track record playing that slot corner spot for really the last two seasons up until this year and doing it fairly well at that, they thought he was the better option. And look, the coaches see these guys at practice every week. I have to trust their opinion in that situation. Did they think about putting Hosley in? I'm sure. But you would have been putting out there a guy who, Lance, has had nearly zero game experience this year, has been battling a hamstring injury, and you want him covering Dez Bryant man-on-man? Frankly, much like the coaching staff, even though Roll hasn't done it a ton this year, he's done it more than Hosley, who hasn't done it at all because he hasn't played because he's been hurt. I would trust Roll. I don't have that big of a problem with that decision.
Well, and you mentioned Dez Bryant, and also I'll throw in Miles Austin. Keep this in mind, Giants fans. Those guys have a tremendous amount of height. Hosley's only 5'10", so you need to take into consideration that the Giants coaching staff, I think, said, you know, we need a bigger physical presence.
That's a good point.
To battle some of these wide receivers. That played a role. And number two, Hosley has been plagued by injuries this season. So even though he's back, does not mean that he's 100%. Roll is a much healthier option. So those two factors alone, to me, I don't have a problem why they favored Roll over Jayron Hosley in those situations.
And how about this? Could he use Corey Webster in that spot?
Well, he was out. I mean, he's hurt.
Well, but yeah. he's been hurt the whole year. Where's Corey Webster been all year long? And I mean, let's be honest.
Of course.
They could use Corey Webster in that spot coming in and leaving Terrell Thomas in the slot. That would have been nice to have him healthy for the first time all year. He's been battling the ankle, the groin, the hamstring, you name it. He's had a leg problem this year. He hasn't been available all season. This is a game where you could use the depth.
It's an example of how the depth chart has taken a complete 180, John. During training camp, we were talking about there's depth in the secondary. Aaron Ross, remember, Webster, Hosley, Tremaine McBride's emergence, and now you're really left with what? One guy, because they've slowly all been hit by the injury bug.
201-939-4513. Alan's down in Miami, Florida. Alan, good morning.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, bud?
Hey, real quick on that, and before I get to my point, you can argue Roll is your best defensive player. And
I agree.
That's who I want. That's who I want in that spot. And, you know, he already had the interception early in the game, has had a knack for getting to the ball, making a big play. So, like you said, to bring in Mosley off the bench, hasn't played all year long, essentially, or even Webster, who, don't even get me started on Corey Webster, can't wait till he's done. But, again, that's not why they lost. You mentioned earlier about Hakeem Nicks. Yeah, I wouldn't say that he's the reason why they lost, but, I mean, you targeted Victor Cruz four times. Four times you targeted Victor Cruz. This is your big money receiver. This is the guy you gave $50 million to. He gets four targets on the entire game. Now, if you look at the previous three games, he was double-digit targets the entire in those games. And I think it's because Nix is out there at least as some sort of a decoy. So for Nix, I think in a big game like this that they were deeming their Super Bowl, Nix was talking all week about how this he's going to play. I mean, I think you got to kind of man up and at least get out there, give it the Willis Reed effort, and at least try to give it a go and at least get Carr or somebody on him to take some distraction off of Cruz.
Yeah, Alan, I hear you, but if you listen to the Cowboys' quotes after the game, Orlando Scandrick and the Cowboy coaching staff did not hide the fact that they were going to put Scandrick on Victor Cruz no matter what and stick him on him the entire game. So while maybe he wouldn't have had a safety over the top quite as much, I still think Scandrick would have been on Cruz. They would have put Brandon Carr onto Hakeem Nicks. Then maybe Ruben Randall could have made some moves on Morris Claiborne or later B.W. Webb, who came in when Claiborne re-aggravated his hamstring. Then I think you might have had some action over there. So you're right. Nicks being there might have forced some dominoes to fall. That could have helped you. But like you said, I'm not sure if that would have been a game changer.
But you could, and again, at the same time, you can also change your play calling, which brings you to Kevin Gilbride. Where did our slant go? That was what Victor Cruz was known for, that quick slant, catch a quick six-yard pass, and then bust it for 50, 60 yards. guard somewhere, go to the sideline screen somewhere. Our offensive play calling is so vanilla. I'm in the house, and my neighbors must hate me because I go crazy when the game is going on. And I knew on the two-point conversion, I know that they're going to go with that delayed draw. They do the same thing every
but
time.
But, Alan, it works. It works.
It does work. And I'm just saying on the two-point conversion, just in general, their offensive plays. You know, I was looking here on the first time they got into the red zone. You got Cruz in motion. Brandon Myers rolled out when they were in the red zone the first time to start second quarter, lost the 2 yards. Brown up the middle, no gain. And then a pass to Brown. When you're at third and goal, why are you not running a play into the end zone? They do this all the time where there's a third and six, there's a third and 11, and they're running four-yard routes, eight-yard routes. Like, they never do enough to get the first down or get in the end zone.
Well,
there's
Alan,
no,
you
there's
have
no excitement on this playing call.
You
there's
have
no flea flickers. There's no reverses. There's no nothing. It's just a simple play calling. We don't do anything. We never have a trick play. We never do anything. With Bill Parcells, at least you get that one trick call. Even Jim Foster would throw a flea flicker or a double reverse. Just keep the defense honest. But now, I mean, we don't do anything. It's run the ball, which we did well, and then a small pass. We don't even do the home run threat anymore. It's just so, so simple. And one last point, I'll let you guys go. I was excited to call in today because I was going to talk about somebody that no one has talked about all year, and that's Jim Cordle. Jim Cordle's been huge for us all year long, and as soon as he went down, I said, oh, man, this is going to kind of affect, like, you know, their pass protection. And once he went down, you're bringing in Brewer, you're moving Booth, who Booth has done a great job, but I think the unsung hero for them this year has been Jim Cordle, and I think losing them was a big loss for them yesterday.
And that's a fair point. I think it did throw off the Giants' offensive line a little bit because Cordle doesn't get a great deal of attention because he's an unknown commodity, but he has given this offensive line some stability.
They still ran the ball really well, though, even after Cordle went out
they
of
did.
The game.
But pass protection, a little shaky.
Yeah,
after.
Eli only
little.
Got sacked a couple times. I thought the Giants' offensive line did a much better job than I thought they were going to do, to be quite honest
and
with
one,
you.
One last point real quick. I'm so tired the last 10 years of seeing Jason Witten just destroy us. Like, we need to have some sort of an answer for Jason Witten. Every time the Giants play the Cowboys, it's Jason Witten, Jason Witten, Jason Witten. He's had 12 catches against the Giants this year. Four of them are touchdowns.
All right, Alan, thanks for the call, pal.
Yep.
All right. Just remember, the Giants aren't alone on that list of teams Jason Witten has killed. There's a reason he's a Hall of Fame player. It's hard to stop him.
He's big and he's versatile. Does a lot of different things.
And I want to go back to the Gilbride thing because, look, you want to put some blame on Gilbride, I understand that. But I think you got to put some blame on the quarterback, too, because – there are options and routes being run in the end zone. Sometimes they're covered, and you have to check down and throw that shorter route and hope they break a tackle, make a run, and get into the end zone. I'm sure the Giants were running plays where they had guys running slants or in cuts to the middle of the field. For some reason, Eli Manning didn't think there were plays there to be made. Trust me, the Giants were running routes in the middle of the field. Every offense does. They're there. But it's the quarterback's and the receiver's job to execute it.
It's not as if they were just running in straight lines. I mean,
no,
they were
exactly.
trying to spread the wealth. But I think there is something to be said about what Alan alluded to, and it seems the common theme this season, and maybe even in seasons prior, John, when they get in tight space, this offense struggles a little, as opposed to perhaps a little bit more in the open field. They just tend to get in that red zone, and either they tighten up or they feel they don't have enough room to maneuver, and as a result, the offense takes a hit. Because the red zone issues have plagued this team throughout the course of the season. It's not as if this is a new thing that's come to the forefront.
Not a new thing at all. What do we always talk about, though? In the red zone with that shrunken field, your execution has to get even better because you're dealing with less space. And there's absolutely no way to argue the fact that this Giants offense has had trouble executing, period, in any portion of the field this year. So it's going to look worse when you get in the red zone because you're not exact. You're not exactly on your P's and Q's. You're not in perfect rhythm, quarterback and wide receiver, offensive line. And that problem only gets exacerbated when you're within that 10, 20-yard line of the end zone.
And that's a big reason that you could point to why the Giants have lost some games this season, specifically even yesterday. I mean, you get three opportunities there, John, and you settle on two of them for field goals. And then you eliminate perhaps the Cruz fumble. I mean, this game was the Giants' opportunity for the taking. I mean, it wasn't as if they didn't do enough to win this game. They just did enough to lose this game, in my opinion.
Well, look, and when you have first and goal at the 5-yard line, you can't get stopped for minus 6 yards on the first run from scrimmage, and then you're second and goal from the 10. You can't do it. Those are the types of mistakes in execution, and that was an offensive line problem, allowing that penetration. That's going to kill you every time. It's the same as having a false start or a hold. There's no difference. Plus, you get the loss of down. It's actually worse.
Well, that's why I get back to the tight space. How is it that you run the ball effectively between the 20s, and then you get in the 20s, and then clearly you don't have as much penetration as you had earlier in the series? I mean, that's mind-boggling at times.
Fair point. 201-939-4513. Brandon's in Rochester. Brandon, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's on your mind, Brandon?
I just want to say that Wim Collar put all the blame on the coaches, and I am thinking the exact opposite. I'm putting this one 100% all on the players.
Why is that, Brandon?
Because I want to get to the Hakeem next, because you look at, you know, Jarrell Jernigan, you know, he had that one good block for Ruben Randle to run for the first down. He played a good game, but do you really think Jarrell Jernigan is going to play a better game than Hakeem Nicks? I know Hakeem Nicks has been struggling, but Hakeem Nicks is hurting the offense. On the left side, the comeback Jarrell Jernigan attempt, I don't know if you guys remember that, when Eli kind of threw it back shoulder and Jarrell Jernigan couldn't come back to the ball.
Yep.
There's that. I remember when they're in the red zone along the right sideline, I can't remember if it was Ruben Randle or not, but the receiver stopped and Eli expected them to go up.
I believe that was Jernigan as well. I believe you're right.
So there's you know, two very big plays that could have been made that I think Hakeem Nicks has a better chance of making.
A better chance, I agree, but do we know he's going to make them for sure, or we don't?
You don't.
He hasn't necessarily made those plays, Brandon, throughout this season. Keep that in mind.
I know that, but I still think that he has a better chance of making those plays than Jarrell Jernigan.
That's fair.
He's a more consistent receiver, I'll give you that.
The way I put it on the players, obviously final drive. I hate to bash him. Antoine Rose, one of my favorite Giants. He's one of the best on the defense, but we all know he got burned every play. And I agree. I'd rather have him on Dez Bryant than Jay Reynolds. That's 100%, no doubt in my mind. The fact that we can rush for over 200 yards and that doesn't open up the pass is just ridiculous. There's no play action pass that opened up anything downfield. Victor Cruz, the guy we're paying to make all the plays out there, you know, he's losing it for us. Losing that ball like that, from there, you know, the Giants had to play catch up the whole game. It kind of left him in the doghouse. For a while, he didn't have any targets until because of that fumble. I think that's the reason why he didn't have those double-digit targets. No one made plays to get open. I think it's on the players, guys.
All right, Brandon, appreciate the call. And I don't think the Giants stopped targeting Victor Cruz because of the fumble. I really don't. Look, Eli Manning is going to throw it to his best wide
receiver. They weren't scolding him during the
course of the game. I think Scandrick just did a good job on him. We talked about Scandrick all week being the Cowboys' best secondary player, and he went out of the game for a series in that first quarter. That could have been a big game changer if he didn't return. And I'm sure the Cowboys gave him a lot of help over the top, too. So they weren't going to let Victor Cruz beat him, much like the last four or five teams haven't let Victor Cruz beat him. They know he's the Giants' big playmaker. Make somebody else do the damage against you.
Well, he had 3 touchdowns in week 1. So if that wasn't enough to tell the Dallas Cowboys defense that they need to change their approach, and I think part of it is, and I don't want to take anything away from the Giants' offensive line and their ability to run the football, but I think Dallas came into this game saying, you know what, we'll allow the Giants to do some damage on the ground, but we're going to prevent that big play. And credit to them, they prevented Eli Manning from going deep and making that big play specifically to Victor Cruz.
Back on the play calling, at Giants, Gab has a good point. And this is a fair criticism, I think. The Giants' second time in the red zone, 3rd and 10 at the Dallas 10. This is a play after the Andre Brown run for -6 yards. They throw an incomplete pass to Brandon Myers over the middle. And then on a 3rd and 10 at the 10, they choose to run the ball with a draw play rather than giving Eli Manning a chance to throw it into the end zone. Look, they ran the ball really well, but to expect to get a 10-yard run on a draw from the 10-yard line for a touchdown, and he points out you don't know if that's an Eli call in the huddle, if that's an Eli audible, if that was the Gilbride call. I don't know the answer to that, but if you want to get on them for that play call, whether it's Eli or Kevin Gilbride, I get it. Trying to run it in from the 10 on a 3rd and 10, you know, 3rd and goal at the 10, it's a tough thing to do.
It's been well documented. Draw plays only work from 2 yards out, John. You know, if you want to get 3 or 4 yards, you're pushing it. Only when you get a two-point conversion, that's when you go for that draw play. So that's a fair criticism. And I get back to the fact, the theme throughout the course of this game, if you look at some of these red zone opportunities for the Giants, the tight space and also the play calling is probably the biggest contributors as to why the Giants weren't able to punch it in. You know, you run the ball for 9 yards, you decide to throw it. You throw it when you're supposed to run it and vice versa. That really makes you scratch your head in these circumstances.
And my man Vic Fontana on Twitter makes a really good point, I think. With Cruz doubled and Knicks out, Randall can't win the game. Giants need to find a number three or four next year as Knicks won't be here. And I think that's a fair question. Is Randall ready to step up and be that number two wide receiver where, look, he's made some plays this year. He's scored some touchdowns. But has he really made teams pay enough when they double Victor Cruz to make this offense go?
My answer would be no. I don't think any receiver, to be honest with you, John, outside of Victor Cruz has made anyone pay on the opposition this season. And that's a troubling aspect, especially knowing that Hakeem Nicks is going to be a free agent, because you would have thought that this would have been an opportunity and a chance for some of these other receivers to emerge, such as the Lewis Murphys and such as the Jarrell Jernigans. They kept these guys on the roster for a reason. They saw some potential in them, but every time Nicks or Cruz or Randall has gone out for a play or has been banged up, no one really has taken full advantage of that opportunity. So this could be an offseason where the Giants need to perhaps look at their options at that position, or at least try to upgrade the tight end spot somewhere where you can add a new threat to give defenses a reason to play you differently. And that, I don't think, has been something that has developed throughout this season.
201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Jesse in Brooklyn. Jesse, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, man, I don't want to make any excuses. Man, they should have continued to run the ball. And you know, some people say, well, how were they outcoached? Well, that was how they were outcoached. Honestly, you know, the officiating was terrible. I mean, on both sides. I mean, there was calls that they, especially that Dez Bryant catch. Well, they called it a fumble. That was actually a catch or an incompletion or whatever. But it could have went either way. That the officiating was terrible. It just makes our team look bad when they get out and talk all week, and then they do the crazy stunts that they did, in, you know, before the game. I mean, it really makes them look bad. But there's, you know, there's no excuses. You know, let's not make excuses. Just regroup and try to redo the team and give the Cowboys credit. I mean, everyone thought that because it was cold, that was going to make a difference. You know, those guys get paid too. They're professionals as well.
Everybody takes a fair share of the blame. I'm not going to argue with that. I think that there were things yesterday that broke down in terms of the coaching staff, the decisions they made with the play calling, and there were clearly decisions that the players made on the field that if they look back at the film, I'm sure they're scratching their heads and wondering, what was I thinking? Some of those late hits, some of the bad decisions after a play goes out of bounds, and some things that happened on special teams, which has also been an area that we haven't really talked much about. You know, opportunities to get better field position, but illegal bad blocks behind the back that take you 10 yards back, or missed tackles on special teams. And Dwayne Harris didn't necessarily kill the Giants yesterday. That was an area that I think we were a little bit concerned where Dallas could take advantage.
He also didn't play in the second half. Cole Beasley had to replace him as punt returner.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, you know, really honestly, a few calls the other way, this game could have been a blowout, man. We could have really looked really bad.
Well, honestly, I think what we saw, and Jesse, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for holding. I thought we saw two fairly evenly matched and very flawed teams in this game. And I think what you saw is that neither team is an upper echelon team in the NFC, which I think we probably all knew going into the game anyway. But they're flawed teams. They made mistakes. It was not a pretty football game. You know, the guys made some plays at times, but it was two teams that, you know, are going to win nine games or in around nine games, go about 500, probably lose in the first round of the playoffs, depending on who they face, and you go from there. I mean, these teams are not world beaters, and I think both of them showed it on Sunday, and one team made less mistakes than the other, and that's pretty much why they won the football game, let's be honest.
That's really the best way to sum up this game. It's not as if any team did something outstanding where you said, oh, well, that won the game for them. You know, Dallas had a lot of mistakes, too. Dallas struggled. It's not as if Dallas's offense was clicking time and time again. It wasn't as if Dallas's defense was clicking. So clearly they took advantage of some Giants mishaps, and that put them in a position to get some late scores. And Tony Romo also probably played his best football on that final drive. He was right on the money, converted third downs, protected the football. They needed that type of drive to put this game away and get Dan Bailey a makeable field goal. And credit the Cowboys offense for doing that. The Giants offense had opportunities. They just did not do enough of that throughout the course of this game.
Stick on the phones at 201-939-4513. Mike's in Dumont, New Jersey. Mike, what's up? Mike, you there, pal? Why don't you put Mike back on hold? We'll check back with him in a second. Let's move on to Vinny in Pennsylvania. Vinny, good morning. Usually we only get Vinny after wins.
Yeah, I had to call in, though, because you know what? I'm proud of the guys, you know? I mean, like, it's hard to take a L to Dallas, but, you know, I think it comes down to two factors, though. I mean, overall, like I said, I'm proud of the guys. The bad start hurt us, you know? But I think red zone and penalties is what we've been struggling with. I mean, you know, point fingers at players, point fingers at coaches, but, you know, look at a team like Philadelphia. They change so many things so many times with their quarterbacks and blah, 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 and they have no championships. So I'm a firm believer in keeping one team tight together because, you know, people who are dedicated to the team are just hard to come by that are willing to put everything out there for a team. I think that applies to anything in life, though. Like, when you find a good player in any business, you're better off sticking with them than trying to find that all-star hitter. But, you know, like I think the Giants are well known for that. Victor Cruz is a great example. But, you know, it's a bummer. Yeah, I usually do call in after wins. No rap today. I think today's just a day to reflect on the season. But, yeah, I sent you some pictures there, Lance. Not through Giants set, but something to cheer you up for my past gig this weekend.
Oh, nice.
I was trying to go for the trifecta with the – you know, I actually like the rap, even though you didn't finish the line. I didn't expect you to. I should definitely prep you, Lance, for that. But,
we need to do our homework. See, we need to practice during the course of the week before you come on the show.
Yeah, and I can't hold you accountable for that without preparing you. But just to let you know, John, the line was, you know, touchdown to Victor, and then it's like, comma, Lance who, and then the line would have been Cruz, you know, like just to finish it out there. But yeah, that's about all I got for you today. But, yeah, I'm going to sit back and listen. But, you know, go New York Giants. Finish the season out strong. Stick together. You know, like I said, proud of the guys. I'll listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Vin. Appreciate
Vinny.
The call.
You know, optimistic perspective from Vinny from PA.
You not correctly finishing his rhyme on Friday might have been the beginning of the end for the Giants.
Well,
so
listen,
let's be honest.
We went over this, the fact that due to some technical challenges, it was very difficult for me to talk on the show when other people were on the line.
That sounds like
an excuse
to me.
I'm not trying to really stretch out the excuses, but I am. I am a little.
That is a big-time excuse.
That is a valid enough reason.
One man who never has an excuse is Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. this has been the toughest one yet for me. I've never even felt like this bad after a loss, but you know, it's really not much. I started off early in the game, man. I asked you, and I was taking notes. I said, man, I'm going to have some real smart to say when I call in on Monday. Let these guys know I don't always talk off my emotions. But, you know, I really don't have much to say other than this. You know, I do think we obviously got outplayed, but the play calling, which I've been saying all year long, you know, it's got to change. Like I said, you know, the balance was there, but it just seemed like, you know, we were passing when we should have been running and running when we should have been passing. You know, I don't understand how you could get a delay a game. We're sitting there about to go for it on fourth down, and, you know, you're huddling up. You know, I mean, the tempo was terrible. You know, I don't know what was taking so long for them to get plays, you know, called. You know, it was an absolute mess. And I do agree with, you know, some of the calls saying, we got our coach. I mean, we got our coach. The coach, the players didn't quit, you know. The defensive line didn't get any, you know, no pressure on Roma at all. Like you were saying earlier, John, I mean, that, you know, the pass that went and got, I mean, how much time are we, you know, are we going to allow this guy, you know, to survey the field? It just, to me, it just, you know, it came down to coaching. And I'm really tired of seeing Eli just throw balls up for grabs. And that's all he's doing. And that's all he's been doing. Throwing off his back foot. He threw one pass when we came in, I think, at the second half, where he actually stepped into it with a good-looking pass right down the middle of the field for about 30 yards. I haven't seen that really, but maybe a couple times in the last couple of years. The guy's confidence is gone. He's not throwing an accurate ball, and he's not doing anything to you know, to get out of trouble. I'm just, you know, Jaquan Williams, number 57. If you look at tape, guys, watch how many times this guy's standing around just watching tackles. Just watching. I mean, I don't get it. I just don't get it. How these guys get to take home a paycheck when they're just watching a game like me. You know, this will probably be my last time calling. I'll listen every day, guys. But I'm done. I'm done for the year. I mean, I'm just done. You know, the coaching, you know, play call, it has to change. It has to change. Still probably needs to go. Everybody has seen it for the last couple of years. I know you guys work up in there. Y'all don't want to say too much, but it's just terrible. This is absolutely terrible. These guys talk all week long, and this is what we get. For those people who don't think we need Hakeem Nicks, you know, his presence alone on the field obviously, you know, affects the game tremendously. And it was sad to see that, you know, Cruz didn't have one of his better days. And what left is there to say? You know, hopefully we'll just stop talking and try to win these last five games. But, you know, guys, I'm going to leave you one question. You know, do you think it is possible that we can look at another quarterback? Because I'm ready to say it. We definitely need to look at another quarterback.
Steve, I understand the frustration. I understand he hasn't played well this year. And neither Lance or I will argue that Eli Manning has played well this year. He has not. But the Giants will not be jettisoning him for a new quarterback. There's a much better chance that sometime in the next 5 months, you're going to be reading about a contract extension, not about the Giants looking for a new quarterback.
Oh, God. I don't think I can stomach another contract extension, really.
He got you two Super Bowls, Steve. Come on now. And even last year, the team had a top-10 offense, despite the fact they couldn't run the ball well.
Well, I just don't trust him, you know. He's just not looking comfortable back there. I think he's had more than enough time. We put on everything else, the offensive line, the receivers, this, that, and the other. I mean, it's Eli. He killed us all year long. It's Eli. You know, that's the reason why our team has had a bad year. That's the reason why we can't keep no tight end. And everybody's hurt because he's always throwing high balls and we're always having to make a miracle catch.
Steve, in fairness, Hakeem Nicks has had two bad seasons in a row now. Two.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. And honestly, guys, I'm going to leave the Nicks thing. I'm not even going to say much. He's got a fence for himself. I don't have his back anymore. Even though I don't want to see him go, I'd like to see us. I think he's still worth at least the franchise tag if we're not able to get him under reasonable contract, which should be about, even with Cruz, or maybe about $5 more. But nevertheless, guys, I'm going to listen up there. Forgive me, guys. I'm just going to just hurt.
No, I hear you, Steve. Thanks for the call, man. And I think we'll hear from Steve again. I don't think he can resist. One of our most loyal listeners and callers.
Well, this is his opportunity to criticize the team a little, so he's not going to turn that down. Come on.
And look, I think one point Steve brought up was a good one, and I'm kind of reading all these opinions on Twitter, and it's funny how after one loss, opinions have turned and made a complete 180.
Oh, have they indeed?
People were so happy after the four-game winning streak, and understandably so. You win four straight games, you get excited, you're a Giants fan, that's great. But we tried to warn you over that four-game winning streak. There were still some red flags. They were still making some of the same mistakes they made during that six-game losing streak, whether it was penalties, whether it was not being able to score enough points offensively, their defense going up against some subpar quarterbacks. Let's see what happens when they face a guy like Tony Romo. And I think we saw that this team, while they're better than they were their first six games, still has some of the same flaws, and they still make some of the same mistakes.
But with that being said, John, I'm more surprised in the defense taking a slight step back than what the offense did, because the offense has been so erratic throughout the course of this season.
The offense has been consistently subpar.
Correct. So, you know, even if with them struggling against a bad Dallas defense, we could have anticipated that because they haven't taken advantage of other bad defenses. But for the defense to allow DeMarco Murray to run the way he did was a little bit surprising given that they've been tested in previous
weeks.
Yeah,
but remember, when you're dealing with an opposing quarterback that you're not afraid of throwing the football, you can put eight guys in the box. You can put nine guys in the box.
Fair point.
You can't do that against the Cowboy team with Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, Miles Austin, Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley.
The receiving core vastly improved compared to their previous opponents.
You can't put the focus on the run, even though the backs might be better, the offensive lines might be better. Five offensive linemen can't block eight guys in the box.
Here's a great tweet that I think sums things up. And this is from Elo H at Elo underscore Bajo. Dallas game, a microcosm of the Giants season. Slow start followed by an encouraging surge, but the hole they dug was too deep.
I think it's well said.
The issues that showed up in this Dallas game were issues that had showed up earlier in the season, went away briefly, but were still there.
But they went away against bad teams. And that's why you worried. Was that for real? And you saw that, yeah, the team is better. They certainly improved. The defense is better. But they're still not good enough. Not quite.
And it's hard to hang around with tough teams in the NFC, forget the whole league, when your offense can't put up X amount of points each and every game. I mean, let's face it. How many points? I don't even think I can come up with a number. Can you say you can get out of this Giants offense that'll be guaranteed each and every game? I don't think there's a nice round number that you could say, because they've had some games where they can't even get in the end zone, where they have to settle for 5 field goals. And then they've had some games where maybe you can get about 25 points out of them. It's been so up and down, it's really hard to get a round number where you could say, all right, they're going to give you 22 points every single game, and the defense is going to hold the opponent to about 17. You can't bank on that in a season like this, because it has been so shaky and so erratic. And when that happens, you're going to be just as good as your record shows, and that's 4-7.
And another big thing that showed up once again that's been a problem all year long, can't score in the red zone. All year long, that's been an issue. This week, something was going to have to give. The Cowboys are the 27th-ranked red zone defense. The Giants are the 27th-ranked red zone offense. And the Cowboys did a much better job.
And protecting the football has been a huge task this season.
They failed at.
And there were turnovers even during this winning streak. Not necessarily costly turnovers, because the turnovers didn't directly lead to scores. But what happened in the Dallas game, the one turnover you committed, you gave a touchdown to the Dallas Cowboys. You take that touchdown off the board, there's a 3-point game right there. So little things like that add up in the end.
No question about it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in Dumont, New Jersey is back. Mike, what's going on?
Mike, are you there? Mike, a man of very few words this morning.
Oh, Mike's gone again. He called back, and now Mike is once again gone. Mike, you got to be by the phone, brother. We'll try to get back to you in a bit. Let's go to Bruce in East Orange. Bruce, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing? This is Bruce from East Orange. I've got two statements to say about the Giants. Number one, a famous Giant coach told us once, you are what your record says you are. I understand we're all very optimistic about the Giants, but bottom line, it is what it is. 4-7 is 4-7. Number two, another famous coach in our area told us once that you play to win the game. You don't play the game to let the stats look, to average our stats with our running and our passing. You play to win the game. The Giants were dominant on the ground. They could have easily won the game by running the ball on the ground and punching Dallas in the face, which basically they were doing all game long on the ground. We have this whole thing about, well, we have to be balanced in order to win. No, you have to play to win the game. I don't understand that concept of we got to have this stat, we got to have that stat. I'm an old school kind of football guy. You play to win the game, and the Giants were obviously much more physical. They obviously were dominating Dallas on the ground, and they could have easily won this game by dominating Dallas on the ground.
Well, the problem is, Bruce, they couldn't dominate in the red zone. I think you alluded to your own answer. I mean, they dominated between the 20s, but when it came to an opportunity where you're knocking on the door of the end zone, they couldn't have that domination on the ground. That was the biggest difference yesterday.
Well, I think what happened is, when you play the game and you're punching the guy in the face, and you're wearing them down. When you get into an end zone position, you're in the red zone, you can then still you can run the ball and make things happen. But when you're I don't want to say mealy mouth, when you're trying this and trying that, and you're not going to your strengths, I think that's when things happen, and you get those red zone bog downs and funny things happen, and next thing you know, you're kicking field goals.
Well, they went to the run in the red zone. It wasn't as if they abandoned the game plan, but there was the lack of execution. I don't know if I would say Gilbride got cute. Because the bottom line is, yeah, we've gotten some other callers, Bruce, where people are criticizing the Giants for not being creative enough. So I think they simplified things, but you had the penalties. You didn't get the penetration that you had a little bit earlier on in the series, and that's what really came back to haunt them.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree with that. But like I said, I'm just an old school kind of guy when it comes to football. And I saw the Giants doing. The Giants have been shaking the pass all year long. All year long, we don't know where we were going. It's been that way all year long. And all of a sudden, yesterday, I looked around and the Giants were just being physical and punching Dallas in the face, running the rock. Jacobs getting this thing. The other back. Doing this thing, running. The line was being very enthusiastic about the run, and I think that alone could have won that game for us. And it definitely would take a whole lot of time off the clock. And I think that alone could have won the game for us.
All right, Bruce, thanks for the phone call, and no argument here. Listen, I think the Giants did a very good job running the football. It was just unfortunate that, even though they were so impressive on the ground, they didn't have a lot of points to show for it. Let's be honest.
Well, and I thought a couple of drives might have short-circuited too, because they did go away from the run a little bit. And on a 2nd and 3, instead of just running the ball and doing what works, they went to the air. And I thought they could have committed a little bit more to the run, considering how much better they were at running the football as opposed to throwing it. Pound the ball. Again and again and again. The Cowboys' defense clearly was missing Sean Lee, their middle linebacker, who's excellent against the run. And if you're not going to have success passing against a bad secondary, then take advantage of that and just keep running the football. Doing more. Nothing wrong with that.
And this is a Dallas team that doesn't necessarily welcome physicality. And
right.
That was definitely on the forefront yesterday when a lot of guys were running the opposite way of John Connor. So they had the personnel, the Giants, on the field to match up well with that Cowboys defense. The problem was when they needed to run the football, as John mentioned, there were some times where they were trying to get a little too greedy and saying, okay, well, we're running the ball very well. This is going to open up the play action. Now we're going to be able to hit them deep. And they go deep, and Eli Manning can't find anybody, and then you wish when all you needed was 1 yard, you didn't necessarily go for the home run. That happened more than not throughout the course of the game yesterday.
201-939-4513. Andrew is in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, what's going on?
Actually, I could go either way. Like, some of your callers were not that disappointed because they started 0-6 and 1-4. And believe it or not, my wife kind of had that attitude where they were 0-6 and they won, and then they were down by a lot to Dallas and they came back. But mostly I was depressed. But now, like, I'm not as mad as yesterday. But watching the game yesterday, and you guys were talking about running the ball, when Brandon Jacobs didn't score on that long run, or at least torpedo, lower his shoulders and bulldoze, you know, down to the 1 yard line or the 1 foot line, and they would have been able to just line up and smash it in. That was, a bad play because they didn't get a touchdown, had to settle for a field goal.
You know, Andrew, it's funny. We saw both running backs, both Jacobs and Murray, not finish off a couple long runs and go out of bounds instead.
And our other running back, Andre Brown, played outstanding, but he never was able to break, you know, a really long one.
Right.
And he really hasn't since he's been back. But watching the game, to me, it looked like as if the Giants were throwing the game, and if they had to lose the game, but make it look like you're trying to win.
Come on now.
Which I know that's not the case, but to me it looked like that they were giving the game away. First the Cruz play, and that seemed like as if they were trying to give him the game. Then Brandon Jacobs not scoring, and at the end, they fell apart with Antrell Roll, but it's also because of the pass rush. There was no pass rush at the end, and I called last week, and I was saying it.
Andrew, in fairness, and I saw a couple of people tweet about this too. The Giants got some pretty big sacks and some big spots in this game in the second half. I want to break it down for you. I got the play-by-play right in front of me. The Cowboys, for example, had it 3rd and 7 on the Giants' 39-yard line. With 1:43 to go in the third quarter, Colin Jenkins had that big sack up the middle to make the Cowboys punt on that drive. Go back another drive later in the game. The Cowboys are driving. Let me see if I can find this other Romo sack here. Was that early in the third quarter, the second Colin Jenkins sack, if I can find it? But I thought on a couple pretty big third down situations, the Giants did get pass pressure when they needed it, Andrew. I think Romo got sacked, what, three or four times
got
in that game?
Four
right?
Yeah.
I thought the Giants pass rush actually did a pretty good job, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, they did, except on the very final drive. And
right.
Last week I was asking about Demontre Moore, and I thought it would be a good idea if he comes in and provides pass rush and, you know, gives Kiwi a breather, gives Tuck a breather. JPP, I was hoping he was going to block the field goal like he did a couple years ago. But the real killer was not only the Cruz play, but then we had the fumble that was called back because of the hit.
The Kiwanuka pass. Personal foul.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we had the ball in great field position. Then all of a sudden they retained the ball. They move 15 yards forward, plus on the very next play, Antrel Roll gets a penalty for 15 yards and automatic first down. So in those two plays, they have 30 yards, two automatic first down, and they're in the red zone versus if we had the ball, you know, we would have had the ball in good field position. And then that was just like a massive, huge, huge turnaround. And also then Terrell Thomas, who played outstanding and been great.
He did.
He couldn't cover that fumble. So just like the Cruz play, then the where we didn't get the fumble because it was called back, plus they don't just get the ball. They get another 30 yards tacked on. Just like those two or three plays changed the whole game and Big Jacobs not scoring. If you could really break it down to like four plays, and then at the end, the great players like Roll and Beeson, they blew it when they covered Jason Witten. The defense blew it, but I can't blame Roll exclusively. He is a safety, and there was not pass rush at the end, at the very end. So it was a bad game. You know, it was bad at the end, but I'll let my dad put in a – but it seemed like that they were blowing it, like as if they were trying to lose. Here's my dad.
What do you got, Andrew?
It's shown on the widescreen when the tight end made the two touchdowns. Don't they believe in bump and run? The guy just ran in, they threw a touchdown, and that was it. Don't they believe in – what's with Perry Fuel?
Well, you
honestly,
need to be physical with this Cowboys offense.
You do, though. I thought the Giants were pretty physical outside with the Cowboys wide receivers. I think sometimes they do run into the trouble with the tight ends inside with the linebackers. But you know what? It's very hard to play bump and run sometimes on these guys that go in motion in the slot. That's how you create space. I would have to look at the two plays again specifically. But look, certainly getting some bumping and taking Jason Witten and Tony Romo out of their rhythm by pressuring them at the line of scrimmage is never a bad thing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And
bye-bye.
Look, I think Andrew Jr. really kind of hit it on the head. These teams are pretty evenly matched, Lance. We saw it in this game. We saw it in the first game. These teams are pretty evenly matched in terms of talent. Both of them have flaws. Both of them do stupid things. And whichever team makes fewer mistakes and makes the plays when they're presented with them is going to win the football game. Number two, he wanted to kill the pass rush on that final Dallas possession. Tony Romo got rid of the ball awfully quick on that final drive. The play to Dez Bryant, he was actually about to get sacked before he threw that back shoulder throw to Bryant down the sideline. The other Bryant first down was on a slant route, which is a quick release. The long play to Miles Austin was pretty much a slant route, another quick release. And then the Beasley was a simply one quick cut move outside. He didn't hold the ball more than 3 or 4 seconds on any one of those plays. So I don't think the pass rush had much of a chance to get to the quarterback on that final drive because Romo got rid of the ball so quickly.
And they didn't have a chance to get to Romo in week one, too, because all Romo did was get rid of those
right.
passes very quickly. They were running a lot of slants, and the way they were going about their game plan was to counter the Giants' pass rush, and I think they did the same thing yesterday.
Hey, look at a couple of those times when the Giants did get their sacks. The Cowboys were in third and medium, third and semi-long, and that's when they got the pass pressure because Romo had to take those 5 and 7 second drops.
And that's when you would think to be more conservative because all
right.
you need to do is make one stop and force the Cowboys to punt.
7 step drops, excuse me. Yeah, but they got pressure with that front four. And again, Colin Jenkins, who, let's be honest, but I could make the argument even more so than Antero, that Colin Jenkins has been the Giants' best defensive player this year. He's been that good against the run and in this game rushing the passer.
He's made his presence felt in multiple games, and he has stayed healthy and he's given effort. I don't think you've questioned his effort throughout the course of the season. One other thing I wanted to piggyback off of what Andrew Jr. had mentioned in terms of questioning, I know partially joking about that the Giants were maybe doing all they could to try to give this game away and lose, and he referenced the Victor Cruz fumble. And Victor Cruz clearly would have wanted to hold on to the football knowing how critical and game-changing that play was. But, you know, Cruz had about four or five guys around him. I think he was just fighting for the extra yards, trying to get out of play. And credit Dallas for doing a nifty job in stripping the football away, similar to that Chicago defense, which is very good at getting rid of the football out of receivers' hands.
And I want to give Giant fans some credit. I thought we were going to get a lot more phone calls this morning complaining about some of the lack of calls or calls made in that game. Really haven't gotten that. And quite frankly, I thought Victor Cruz's forward progress was stopped on that play. I really do. He was still trying to go forward, and that's probably why the refs didn't blow the whistle, but he wasn't moving forward. He was running parallel to that sideline for a good 3 to 3 seconds, I'd say, before that ball got stripped.
Well, I'll give you that, and I think it was borderline. But
I agree,
but
it was close.
I think he was fighting for position, and that indicated to the official, if Cruz is still fighting, then the Cowboys defender has every right to try to go and strip the football. I tend to think calls balance out over the course of a game. That Dez Bryant catch, which didn't haunt Dallas on that final drive, it was ruled incomplete. That was a catch.
Oh, easily.
That was definitely a catch.
How they didn't put the guy under the hood to look at that was amazing to me. How they confirmed that was an incomplete pass upstairs, when Dez Bryant catches the ball, takes 3 steps, falls down, his knee hits the ground, ball hits the ground, he still has control of it. Then when he slides, the ball squirts out a little bit. I was flabbergasted that was not reviewed and overturned.
Knee went down, he had the arm around the football, and then well after the play ends, he coughs it up. So I found it very hard to believe that they ruled that incomplete, and they wound up getting the conversion with Cole Beasley on the very next play, so it didn't change the game. But it's just, to me, another example. You want to point to the Cruz play, I'll give you one for the Cowboys side that easily could have went the other way.
And I know you have to control the ball throughout the entire process of the catch, but to me, once you take that third step, I think the process of the catch is pretty much done at that point. It's not like it was catch, hit ground, slide, ball out. It was catch, 3 steps, knee, ground, slide, ball out. I mean, how long does the guy have to hold on to the football?
Well, that's what frustrates me about the NFL in this day and age. And the rule book is so convoluted and complex, John, but it's all based on the interpretation of the officials, no matter how the rules are written.
Well, it'll always be based on interpretation. But to me, the reason they made that rule the way they did was to take out as much of the interpretation as possible. And to me, that's a pretty easy decision where you say
that's
the process of the catch was over. But obviously, the official up in the booth. And look, I'm not going to kill the guys in the field. Things happen quickly. Maybe the referee thought he saw the ball coming loose as Dez was going to the ground. It's hard to see in a mess of players. But that guy upstairs has got to at least tell them to review that play under the hood on the field.
You have replay for a reason, John. It's not just to have the screen there and stare at the screen. It's to actually use it.
Let the guy look at it. But apparently the play was confirmed as incomplete upstairs, which, beyond belief, I'm not quite sure how that happened.
And the funny thing is, you have the opportunity to watch a play like that, but then I take you back to the Monday night game with the Panthers and the Patriots. You don't have an opportunity to watch that play when that obviously impacted the outcome of a game.
It's never going to be perfect.
NFL for you.
It's never going to be perfect. All sports, let's be honest. I mean, you have much more controversial calls to me in the NBA on a nightly basis than you do in the NFL. You do. I mean, the referees in an NBA game, between getting guys out of the game because of foul trouble and things of that nature, I think can have a much bigger impact than these NFL refs.
And
sometimes
John knows, because nobody writes more about the Knicks than this man across from me. Anyway, let's continue with this show.
I was having a good morning,
too. I know, but I had to get that in.
How's Derrick Rose doing, by the way?
He's doing all right.
Let's go to Roldy and Bayshore. How are you? I didn't want to do that, lads. Roldy, what's up?
Nice low blow there.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Lance.
What's up?
How are we doing?
Yeah, a little bit, you know, tough game, you know, that a few things, I mean, during the game that just got to us. Once again, it's the, you know, the red zone offense. You know, we're forgetting that it's been now 2 years in a row that our red zone offense has been horrible.
Longer than that, it feels like.
Look at how many field goals Lawrence Tynes had last
season. I was being lenient. I felt like it's been longer than the 2 years. It's just something's got to give with this red zone offense. I mean, penalties again. You know, like the last caller said, the penalty with, you know, the boneheaded Kiwanuka play that, you know, that kind of, you know, got to us. And the main thing, too, the other thing, too, Tremaine McBride going down. It just, you know, I think Tony Romo saw that a little bit. And, you know, we had Antrell Roe play the slot, and then, you know, Terrell Thomas playing the corner. It kind of hurt us a little bit, you know, down the stretch. But the main thing that's getting to me, you know, for the last 2 years is just that red zone offense. And I know the offense has been shaky this whole season. You know, we all know that, but we got to remember it's that red zone offense. I mean, we get into the 20, you know, the opponent's 20-yard line, and we can't get the ball in there.
You know, Roldy, and the funny thing about it, in years past, you could survive that because you had such an explosive big play offense. You can make those 40, 50-yard touchdown passes that would make up for those red zone failures. But now that the offense isn't as explosive because Hakeem Nicks isn't the same player, maybe the offensive line isn't protecting Eli having a bad year, those missed opportunities in the red zone are that much more hurtful because you don't have those big plays to make up for.
It really is. It really is. It's just me screaming. I lost my voice because I'm just sick and tired. You know, during the preseason, the one thing that I really wanted to look at during the preseason is how are we going to do in the red zone offense. And you could see in the preseason it was all awful. And I said, oh, my God, it's going to be another year like this. And sure enough, it happens. But, you know, just like Jason Pierre-Paul said, it is the NFL. I'm not giving up. You know, for this team to start 0-6 and, you know, start off, you know, on a win streak, yes, I understand. Third-string quarterback, I get that. But they're getting paid in the NFL, too. They're in the professional league, so they're football players, too. So, you know, there's 5 games left. We just got to go hard, take, you know, 1 game at a time, and let's see what happens. You know, I know our schedule's tough, but the Eagles' schedule, I know it's a little bit easy, but it's still, you know, a tough schedule for them, and it's a tough schedule for Dallas. We know how the Dallas Cowboys do it. I'm not going to give up. I still have hope. I just want to see, you know, a change in that red zone offense. Thank you, guys.
All right, Roldy, thanks for the phone call. And I like the fact that he pointed out when McBride went down, Tony Romo saw that and took advantage of it. And the best example that I could build for a parallel, if you go back to the Week 1 matchup against the Cowboys, Mark Herzlich comes in for Dan Connor. The very first play,
Witten.
Romo throws to Witten for the touchdown. So that's evidence that the Cowboys are very key on when a player gets hurt, we've got to now take advantage of that. And that's happened twice this season.
And excuse me. And frankly, I thought the Giants were going to do the same when Morris Claiborne went out with that hamstring injury, and all of a sudden B.W. Webb is in the game, a rookie fourth-round pick. They didn't quite take as much advantage of that as I thought they might have.
Or go after the linebacking core, John.
Ernie Sims.
Sean Lee and Justin Durant are out. I mean, they didn't even have Devontae Holloman.
Three out of
their sixth-round rookie.
As Mickey Spagnuolo said to us on the radio pregame show, 3 out of their top 5 linebackers were not playing. And Bruce Carter had a rough game. John Connor basically treated him like his little brother and smacked him around a little bit the whole game.
That's why, to me, it's amazing that they didn't go for some more passes in that vicinity to test that linebacking core.
I don't get it either. And the safeties. Look, Will Cox is a rookie. Heath is a rookie. Barry Church is a run stopper, not much of a coverage guy. Attack the middle of the field. And that's where the Giants made their money in Week 1. It's not like they don't know it works. How many slants did we see to Cruz, Nix, Randall, Myers in Week 1 in the middle of the field? All game long.
And Sean Lee was on the field at that point. 3 receivers over 100 yards in that contest.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 201-939-4513. Dexter is all the way out in Las Vegas. Dexter, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, John? How you doing, Lance?
What's up, Dex?
Doing well, Dex.
Hey, listen. As a matter of fact, I seen you guys did that interview. You two guys did really, really well on that interview. But I just want to tell you.
Big Blue Hits you're talking about?
Yes.
Appreciate
it. I did great.
Thank you.
That. First of all, let me say something. First of all, with Eli. Eli has a bad year. Okay, we all know that, you know, but everybody has this, you know, all quarterbacks have their years or whatever and stuff, but, you know, take, for instance, Big Ben, Rodgers, Brady, and even Romo. Romo hasn't had a Super Bowl, and he will never get one because he's not good enough to get one. And Eli has two within 8 years. You know, you got to give the man some credit. The man is a superstar and stuff. And, you know, and all these, you know, fans calling up, talking about Eli this and Eli that. You know, Eli has his bad year. So what? You know, he's still a great quarterback, and he's still, you know, if he get the protection that he's supposed to have, we wouldn't have an 0-6 record when it first beginning in the first place.
Dexter, okay? I agree. I agree, Dexter. But in fairness, the last season and a half, Eli Manning has, and I'll go back to about the halfway point of last year and all of this season. So I figure that's about a 16-game stretch. Eli Manning has not played good football the last 16 games or so he's played in, and it's hard to argue it. He has not played well.
Yes, true that. I understand that. Yes, he has. He hasn't. But, you know, you got to get, you know, honestly, you know, it all affects on, you know, our defense, you know, our offense giving Eli time to throw the ball, you know, our offense with Akeem Nicks, you know, not being healthy, not, you know, not performing, you know, it's, you know, our running game wasn't up to par and stuff because we never had Wilson and Brown at the same time and stuff, which we wanted to in the first place in the first beginning of the year. You know, we just now getting Beeson. You know, he puts a spark into our defense and stuff like that, but still it's a little bit too late for all that and stuff, you know. We got, you know, well, five more games or whatever to go, or four more games to go and stuff. We can win these and stuff, but, you know, the fact of the matter was we needed to win that Dallas game and stuff. So, you know, that's going to be a damper unless Dallas lose some games also. But
and Philly.
And Philly, exactly.
You got two teams in front of you.
But my thing is, when we had the opportunity to punch it in the red zone and stuff, man, my thing is, you know, why didn't he give the ball to Jacobs? Because he's been doing well as far as that's what we got him here for in the first place, to punch the ball
in. Hey, look,
in.
They tried. I mean, look, Dexter, they gave it to Andre Brown, who is a very good short yardage back. On first and four at the Dallas 4-yard line, he got stopped for a 6-yard loss.
Exactly.
I want to go back to the red zone possession before that. Second and 8 at the Dallas 8-yard line. Andre Brown runs it just 1 yard. The running game, as great as it was not as effective inside that 10, as Lance has pointed out many times today, as you would like it to be.
Right, right. But, you know, honestly, you know, Giants, you know, they gave it a run and stuff, and they just didn't have the ump for it. Dallas was a better team this year. It's as simple as that and stuff. You know, they got some more players that came back, you know, with DeMarcus Ware and everything. And then they had their the wide receiver, the slot guy,
Miles Austin.
Miles Austin. You know, I mean, fortunate for them, they came back on us at the exact same at the great time where they got to play against the Giants, where they needed the game to win, and they did it.
All right, Dex. Appreciate the call, my friend.
Oh, and I got one more thing.
Real quick.
For your man Steve, adios amigos, because you know, we all have our days and stuff. And if he's gonna complain and baby about, you know, Eli being
Dex,
a big sack, you know, adios amigos, man. Good riddance, man.
Oh, he's boy. Throwing Steve, you know, off the bandwagon. Thanks, Dexter. Appreciate
Steve
the call.
Steve better plan on calling in tomorrow.
Steve's
just
been
to
called out.
Himself. Yeah.
Steve has been called out. Dexter in Las Vegas throwing him down. We're gonna have to set up a fight in the MGM or something between those two.
Some feisty words here.
And I want to go back to something he said about Eli, and he says, oh, well, you know, Romo will never win a Super Bowl because he's not good enough to do it. And I think this goes back to the point we've been making all year long. Quarterbacks, as important as they are to a franchise, and in the most important position on the field, no question, they're affected by the circumstances around them. And Tony Romo, talent-wise, is just as good as a lot of the other top quarterbacks in the league. Now, again, I want to be very clear here. I'm setting apart Peyton, Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers. To me, those four guys are on a different level than everybody else in this league. I'm putting them, and I'm putting them aside. The other quarterbacks, though, in this league are all in that next tier, the Roethlisbergers, the Mannings, the Romos, the Flaccos, the Russell Wilsons, the Matt Ryans, the Philip Rivers, all those guys, to me, are in that next big group. Their success is going to depend a lot on what's going on around them, whether it's the defense, the offensive line, the running game, healthy receivers that can make big plays down the field. Look at poor Phillip Rivers. Who is that guy throwing the football to? Keenan Allen? A gimpy Antonio Gates? Do you see the offensive line Tony Romo's been playing in front of the last 3 years? They're terrible.
San Diego's had offensive line issues as well.
Matt Ryan has lost Julio Jones. Their offensive line is stunk up the joint.
Terrible. No running game either.
Joe Flacco loses Anquan Boldin. Look what happens.
And Dennis Pitta.
All year. Quarterbacks get affected by what goes on around them. And if you put a good enough team around them, any of those guys in that list I gave you can win a Super Bowl. They can. But they need help. And look, Eli, I said it. Last 16 games has played poorly. Needs to play better. But you got to put a team around them as well. That's all I'm saying.
I was looking at Eli Manning's game log, and I'm trying to find the last game that you could point to where he's played clean football and it's also really stood out, but it was a meaningful game.
What, Saints
so
game
I
last
would
year?
Eliminate the Eagles game because that wasn't a meaningful game, really. Oh, you want to say it was a meaningful game because of the tiebreaker?
No.
They had a lot to overcome.
No.
I would skip over the Saints. I'd probably have to go to the Packers, John.
I guess the two picks against the Saints is what gets
that,
you.
That cancels
so go,
that out
So
to
go
me.
Back to Packers last
Three
year,
touchdowns,
November 25th.
No picks. He also had a completion percentage well over 50.
Now, only 53%, but 250 yards, three touchdowns. You can't really can't go wrong with that.
I think that's the game that stands out.
You know what's funny, though? You even go before that Packer game, struggled against Cincinnati, struggled against Pittsburgh, struggled against Dallas, struggled against Washington, was okay against San Francisco.
Well, the defense dominated that game.
Cleveland, October 7th, was really the game before the Packers when he was really that good. He's been through a long stretch here for whatever reason, whether it's Akeem Nicks not being the same player, offensive line, or maybe just the degradation of his own play, which I think we have to talk about as a possibility at this point because it's been such a long stretch. He has not been the same player.
Well, but it also gets back to what you said a few minutes ago, John, and I'm not trying to make excuses for Eli Manning, but if we're putting him in the tier of quarterbacks where it depends on what you have around you, you know, there's been a lot of mixing and matching with personnel. The defense has its highs and has had its lows, and that's obviously going to impact or at least showcase who the true Eli Manning is.
And you know, it's funny. I said I take those four quarterbacks and I put them aside. Time out a second. Look at last night. Peyton Manning, bad weather, didn't perform. How's Tom Brady's numbers this year? He's a quarterback rating in the 80s. Because why? His receivers aren't any good. So even he's having a down year
and the defense
because
lost
of bad
a lot
wide
of
receivers. How'd Drew Brees do last year when he didn't have Sean Payton as head coach? Not quite as well.
A lot of interceptions.
A lot of turnovers. So even for the best quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, he got sacked, what, 45 times last year? Takes a toll on a guy. So that's all we're saying. 201-939-4513. Victor is out in Texas. Victor, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Thanks for calling in, Victor. What's up, pal?
Hey, looking at this game, and, you know, I was terribly disappointed. Not in the fact that we lost, but the way we lost, because so many things happened or had to happen for us to get beat by a team like Dallas. First of all, you know, the turnovers, the penalties. And they all happen at the most inopportune time in the game. But let me just break this down real quick for you. Eli Manning, everybody says Eli Manning. We already know what Eli is. We know what Eli is. I saw Eli yesterday, and one thing, a lot of people don't say that Eli talks. He doesn't talk. We already know that, but he talks with his body. Eli's body language is horrible. Every time I see him do something, he has the most, where he has the worst body language of a leader on a team than anyone I've ever seen. He shows that. That's how he shows his frustration in his facial expressions. But to get back to his play, yes, he does throw the ball off his back foot. But look at the offensive line he has in front of him. And I keep going back to Will Beatty, man. Will Beatty, he doesn't understand the concept. You have the most dynamic player that you're blocking on that side. Why are you trying to help your guy on the inside? You should be focused on him all the time. Eli got rushed around the corner. And if you look at the defense, I told you guys last week, I said, look, two things are going to kill us. It's either going to be the running game, DeMarco Murray, or it's going to be Jason Witten. And those are the things that started off. And Jason Witten, I'm trying to understand to myself, how is he that wide open all the time? I don't understand how a guy who runs like a 4.9 is always wide open. And for Hakeem Nicks not to be in this game, I don't know the specifics of why he wasn't, but he was poorly missed in this game because I knew they were going to double cruise, and, yeah, Randall was going to get his share. But that third wide receiver, Jarrell Jernigan, Eli, I don't know why he was thrown mostly to his way because he obviously did not know what the offense was. He did and not know what he was doing out there.
Yeah, Victor, I want to point out thing. I want to point out one thing real quick on Nicks. When Coach Coughlin was asked on Friday, how has Hakeem Nicks been limited with his injury, his quote, he can't go full speed. So if you have a half speed Hakeem Nicks out there, you wonder how much he even could have helped if he can't run. He can't run past anybody.
Well, that's definitely true. But, I mean, just the thought of having him out there, using him as a decoy.
That's fair.
You know, it was just kind of troubling. Yeah, those guys knew that. But our running game was so good. And do you remember one play? I believe we was down in the red zone, and we were clicking. We were clicking. And they ran like a silly-looking draw or something like that. And everybody was like, what the hell? You know, the red zone offense is a killer for us, man. And it's just getting to the point now where it's frustrating. Everybody thinks it's Kevin Gilbride. Is Eli making the call changes? I don't care who it is, man. We just need to change it. Because if this bleeds over into the next season, it's not going to be pretty for this organization. And one more thing. When you look at other teams that have the same, you know, the Saints, I mean, these guys, these players, they aren't that different from us, but it seems like we're not gelling the way these guys are. Because I've seen those plays. Some of these plays around the NFL are similar. It's just you got different players running it. And I don't think we're executing like we should. I mean, execution starts in the off season, and we don't execute like we should every Sunday. And it's just frustrating to me.
Victor, you're right. I think you're hit on everything I think you're right on the money. Appreciate the call, my friend.
And that's why you can't have guys miss OTAs and some other off-season workouts, because it may very well come back to haunt you later on in the season. One other thing that I wanted to point out, after Victor said he finds it hard to believe how Jason Witten gets open so much because he runs about a 4.9, we were saying the same thing about Jake Ballard when he was on this team. Jake Ballard ran in slow motion and still wound up getting scored.
Well, I could tell you how Jason Witten got his first touchdown. The Cowboys ran one of the best play-action passes I've seen all season long. Romo sold that fake handoff to DeMarco Murray, sucked the linebackers in. Witten went right down the seam.
And that's what other quarterbacks could not do in the previous weeks, John, because they had no running game to rely on. Now DeMarco Murray got going. Tony Romo can use him as a decoy to then throw down the field.
And by the way, Terrell Thomas, as someone mentioned earlier in the show, we haven't really talked about him much, played another great game. He's really played great football. I mean, I was hopeful he'd have a good year. I didn't think he'd get back to being as good as he's been the last few weeks. So give him a lot of credit. And number two, I think this is only fair because we've praised him over the last 4 or 5 weeks, like he's been a godsend. We have not called John Beeson's name now for a couple weeks. Haven't. Did he make one play yesterday against Dallas?
He struggled against the run yesterday. They did test him with that. Also, when the running backs were getting passes out of the backfield, John, Beeson was a step or two behind.
Did not play a great game yesterday. And again, he's been fantastic, and so has Anshar Roll. Both of them have been great, but yesterday, not the finest moments for either guy.
And that's why you look at the opponents and you say, did that cover up some of the weaknesses for the Giants the last few weeks? And the answer probably is yes right now.
Again, defense is good. It's not great quite yet, but they'll continue to gel, try to continue to get better. Well, Hill did have a nice play, by the way. He got that big strip of Dez Bryant, which short-circuited that one Dallas drive when they think it was a 3rd and 30 they got thrown into. 201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Len braved the cold, the wind, all the other elements yesterday to come down to MetLife Stadium. What's going on, Len?
You know, guys, Giants football weather and the whole myth of that.
It is a myth, by the way.
I lost that in the championship game in 1962 against the Packers when there was no such thing as the humidure or the combination of wind and temperature. They didn't keep those sorts of things. But that was about as cold as it ever got. And, hey, Philip Rivers, Is that the guy who played in 72 degrees and no wind yesterday? Good for you, Philip. Good for you. Good for you. That's the way to rack up some numbers. That's the way to rack up some
numbers. In fairness, Philip Rivers did win a playoff game playing on a torn ACL in the cold, so I don't want to go out here and kill Philip Rivers. He has played in some adverse conditions before.
Listen, it was more circumstances than it was Philip Rivers. He's a fine quarterback. I don't have anything against Philip Rivers. I'm glad we got Eli and not Philip, but I don't have anything against him. I was really just talking about playing conditions. And players can say all they want about that wind, and it really didn't affect us and all that kind of stuff. That's a bunch of baloney. All right, listen, you can tell I'm as frustrated and disappointed as all the other callers, and you had some great callers today. And I'm honored to follow Victor from Texas. He followed me on Friday, by the way, and we got a tweet, and we both got mentioned in the tweet, and it was positive. I thought that was pretty cool.
So honestly, Len, I didn't know you were monitoring Twitter. This is news to me.
Yeah,
I didn't realize Len was on social media.
You know, I'm on the thing. I don't know how to use it, but
well, you gotta get a name now on Twitter now, Len.
Yeah, there you go. I'm watching the website, you know, and as people are calling in, and I'm following the tweets, and they're always fun. And
be rocking chair, Len. How about that?
There you go. Hey, you had some great calls today. Just a couple of things.
Sure.
Dad-son combination I called in, you know, a couple of really great points. You know, one of the things about going last or next to last is everybody has said what you want to say. So let me just comment on a couple of things that have been said because I wanted to say them myself. But the son and dad who got on had a couple of really good points. And this is not a criticism of Brandon Jacobs. I thought that run down the sidelines, I thought he would have finished that a little stronger. That hit me right away. Brandon, what are you doing? I mean, the guy was smaller. At least try to run over him, you know, create some excitement down there when, you know, the guy maybe makes a tackle and brings it down, but, you know, you send him in the other direction or at least sideways. You know, we needed a big collision there of some kind, and, you know, we didn't get it. I'm just the point, you know, I'm not being critical of Brandon. Brandon is who he is. He's doing a great job for us. I'm glad he's back with the team. Red zone offense, oh, my gosh, how frustrating can you be? It's mind-boggling. I don't know what to say. Other than this is not a case for keeping Martellus Bennett. You know, I'm not saying we should have done that. We need a tight end. We've got to get a tight end. Hopefully Adrian Robinson is the guy. You know, another offseason, maybe Adrian comes back and gives us something like perhaps what Martellus could have given us this year. But, again, I'm not making a case. The money thing, I understand it. I just think we need a tight end, particularly when we get down there in the red zone. Dad had a comment. I think it was Andrew and Dad. Dad had a comment that was really good. I mean, Witten's running free, particularly in the red zone. But you know what? If you look around this league, that seems to be a trend. It seems to be a trend. The tight ends don't get hit at the line of scrimmage like they used to. But I think particularly in the red zone, we got to redirect. I mean, you can't let Witten go where he wants to go and make a decision about whether he should move two steps to the left like he did yesterday. I mean, you got to redirect him, get him out of his pattern, send him in a place where he doesn't want to go. Hey, Cullen Jenkins was great yesterday. Now I realize why we spent the money on Cullen Jenkins. He's a player. Hey, you know the guy on the other side, Hatcher? He's a player. Hatcher can play. Good ball players. And, you know, defensive tackles get second contracts.
Well, you know, Jason Hatcher's a free agent after this year, too. Jason Hatcher's going to get paid this offseason, Lennon. I'm not sure the Cowboys have the cap space to afford him either, but someone's going to pay Jason Hatcher, and he's going to be a very rich man.
There are few defensive tackles in the league who can do what Hatcher can do.
And I'll tell you what, Len.
And Jenkins showed it yesterday.
If the Giants have some money, they could look at Jason Hatcher in the offseason, too, with Linval Joseph and Sean Rogers both hitting free agency.
You don't see a lot of defensive tackles get pressure, and he does it very well.
Oh, my God. That's how you get the second contract is a defensive tackle.
No question. In fact, I think this is going to be Hatcher's third contract, Len.
Maybe.
I believe I think Hatcher signed a 3-year deal after his rookie contract. He's about 31 now. I think this is going to be his third deal.
I hope Linville was watching. He's a fine run stopper. I hope we get him back, but I could see a circumstance, as in the recent past, with Griffin and Cofield, and we can go back further than that, where we're going to let that tackle go and just say, Hankins can do what you do. Or we'll get somebody off the street. We'll bring Patterson back and let him take, you know, play 10 or 12.
In fairness, though, Len, they invested money in Colin Jenkins, and he's been a hell of a player.
Oh, heck of a player. Well, I mean, there's very few tackles who will make two sacks in a game. And, he's been getting a double team. One of you made a comment earlier. He could have been the best player, our best player on defense this year. I think so. One other kudo to Cowboy, I hate to do this, but, you know, the next 6 or 7 years, whoever plays defensive end, whether it's JPP, DeMontre Moore, Kiwanuka, who, by the way, I'm going to make a case for, I think Kiwanuka's had an okay season. You know, I mean, we got three defensive ends rotating in and out. They're not all going to get 10 sacks, guys. Kiwi can play. He's okay. I don't even.
Well, Len,
Kiwi,
that's why I brought up earlier. He has a team high 4 sacks. It gets overlooked because they don't get a lot of quarterback hits, but he actually leads the team in
there
sacks.
Yeah. There you go. And how many is he going to get? He's rotating. I mean, come on. And there's 5 games left in the season. Kiwi's doing fine. He lost his temper yesterday. It was just unfortunate, and it had to happen twice and so forth. But listen, here's why I'm not a coach. I would have put Hosley in yesterday and played Antrell back in his regular position, taking the chance with it. At least on the first one, you go with Hosley. And look, you want to give Romo the credit for spotting that change in the Giants' defensive backfield. I give it to the offensive coordinator sitting in the booth. He's the guy who spotted that mismatch. He's the guy that got the word down to the sidelines, onto the field. I mean, it's not Jason Garrett. Garrett's just a puppet. And that's ridiculous. Relaying the ball. That's the mismatch on the field when Antro was in that position. I would have played him at safety. I would have played Hosley. I would have taken my chances. It has to go that way.
But Len, before we let you continue, can't you make the argument, though, that the Giants are a little bit stronger given the injuries when they have those three safeties on the field?
Yes.
So that's why it's hard for me to sit here and criticize that.
We got to remember why we brought Mundy in. And by the way, Mundy has exceeded expectations.
He's been very solid.
Yeah,
and he's had to play special teams too, because when Will Hill came back, he passed him on the depth chart.
Yes. So I'm glad Mundy's on the team, but I'm going to say something. That's not why we brought him in. We brought him in to be the fourth safety. Maybe an insurance policy, because I think we knew as far back as April and May, or March, that's when we brought Mundy in, as far back as March, that Hill was in trouble and was going to get suspended, and we needed another safety. But we didn't bring Mundy in to play in that situation. Because
you thought you were going to have Stevie Brown and Antrell Roll. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So Mundy, you got to remember, and even Aaron Ross. You know, for when he played, Aaron did okay. But, I mean, we brought Aaron Ross in to be the fourth safety, not to be a starter. And, I hope people don't read into this that I'm knocking Aaron Ross. It's just where he is in his career. And I think Ross knew that. He was going to be the fourth safety. He wasn't ever. I mean, he started 2 or 3 games for us. Come on. And we were 0-6 for a reason.
All right, Len, thanks for the call.
Hey, can I just say one more thing?
Yeah, real quick.
Okay, real quick. I kind of got off track on the defensive ends. You know, they can't all get 10 sacks. They don't get enough time on the field. But for the next 6 or 7 years, we're going to have to deal with Tyron Smith at left tackle.
He's a heck of a player, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. There's a reason why JPP got shut down yesterday.
And by the way, it's going to be more than 6 or 7 years. Tyron Smith's just 22 years old. He could be there for another 13 years.
There you go. You're killing me, guys.
Sorry, Led.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right, Len.
Be good. That's another guy. The Cowboys are going to have some decisions to make, by the way. They're in a lot of salary cap issue problems. Tyron Smith's coming up in 2 years. Des Bryant's coming up in a couple of years. And Jason Hatch is a free agent this year. So they have to make some tough decisions.
And they just gave a lot of players some hefty contracts. Romo.
Sean Lee.
Miles Austin. They've got some big, tough decisions to make, and they don't have a lot of salary cap flexibility, similar to what the Giants went through this offseason.
Our final call of the show, and he's been holding for a while. We thank him for his patience, is Jay down in D.C. Jay, you're our cleanup hitter today. What's on your mind?
Hey, John. Hey, Lance, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks
man.
For calling, Jay.
Hey, listen, just really talking about the game yesterday, I know everybody is disappointed. Heck, I'm disappointed too, man. Definitely should have been a better game. the red zone offense, as everybody say, pretty much just needs to change up. I'm not sure if it's the route combinations or executing, but, you know, these type of things have to change, man. And everybody was on the offensive line yesterday, but in my opinion, the offensive line kind of did a bang-up job, you know, protecting Eli. I mean, what we got to understand is that these defensive players get paid also. I mean, it isn't a time where, you know, you're just completely going to have your quarterback untouched. You know, I mean, we just got to be reasonable with that. And, you know, with the route combinations on offense, man, I mean, Reuben Randle's blocking, Eli's throwing the pass, and Jernigan trying to come back when he should have, you know, run the streak. I mean, these guys have to know where they have to be at. I mean, the offense doesn't change based on the personnel, in my opinion. I mean, the plays are the same. If you're an X receiver, you're a Y receiver, you run the route. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, just a little bit better play calling, man, because that third and one, we had a third and one and we were in bunch formation and we got stopped right there. I mean, those type of plays have to be corrected, man. It has to be remedied. Just looking forward to the rest of the season, finishing it out, man. I mean, I just like to say for the people who are on Eli Manning, like Victor said, I think it was, Eli is Eli. He is going to be who he is. He has his bonehead mistakes, but I guarantee you can count every clutch play that he's had, man. So I'm not going to take up too much time. Just wanted to say that piece, man, and finish up the season. Go Giants.
Thank you, Jay. And look, the rest of the year, the Giants will try to win out, get to 9 wins, hope for a miracle that the Cowboys and the Eagles both collapse a little bit. You never know. But it's also going to be a big evaluation period. And, Lance, this is how we'll close the show, I guess. We know the Giants have a lot of free agents coming up this offseason, a lot of guys on one-year contracts, a lot of veterans on expiring contracts like Corey Webster and Justin Tuck, who, by the way, has played well this year, played well again yesterday for the Giants. And this is going to be a big evaluation period to see how this season closes out. It really is.
You need to determine what direction you want to go in the offseason, and that will dictate, you know, what position you think that you need the biggest upgrade in and how much money you want to designate to certain slots, because they have a lot of questions they need to answer. As you mentioned with Justin Tuck, you know, do you want to bring him back for a year? And I think he has played very effectively. Corey Webster's been hurt. You know, what's the point of maybe bringing back a guy that you can't rely on contributing each and every week? You know, this may be a direction that they go where you start giving some of the young players more opportunities, or you go the route of free agents, which to me has worked better for them than relying on some of these rookies to pan out. And a lot of the last couple of late-round draft picks, John, let's face it, you're still scratching your head and you're wondering, are these guys going to take advantage of their opportunities or going to go through this all over again?
Well, still a lot to talk about, Lance, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning on Giants.com, 9:30 to 10:30, Big Blue Kickoff Live, as we continue to react to Giants and Cowboys. Cowboys defeat the Giants 24-21. Giants fall to 4-7. And now 3 games out of that division lead. So we'll see what happens the rest of the year. Lance, appreciate the time. See you in the morning.
Sounds good.
For Lance Menno, I'm John Schmuck. See you tomorrow morning on Giants.com. Stay tuned. Plenty more coming up reviewing this game. Sean O'Hara will join us on Giants.com. Break down some plays with coaches tape and everything else. Make sure you stay tuned all day long. Have a good one.